Hello and welcome to another edition of the Tree City Sports Podcast. I am your host, as usual, Andrew Baker, here with my co-host, as usual, Graham Moen.
We are back. We apologize that we haven't had an episode recently. We had some technical difficulties with the last episode, but
we lost an entire podcast.
Yeah.
It was really, we really enjoyed that.
We had done a podcast after the second preseason game to kind of just talk about the team, you know, figuring out who was going to get cut and stuff. But, you know, that's already happened and we can't change.
And let's be honest, the preseason doesn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, the Browns went 3-1 in the preseason. So, I mean, it's not like,
Hey. The good thing is they won the Great Lakes Classic.
They did. They won the Great Lakes Classic. When are they ever going to play it in a regular season game?
Yeah, every four years or whatever. Yeah,
they have the trophy, but it's for like the preseason game.
So if you were to ask the average Browns fan, the Browns are going to win the freaking Super Bowl this year.
Yeah.
If you were to ask you and me, maybe not, but I think it's safe to say we're both pretty optimistic, and there's a lot of things to be optimistic about. So basically, for this podcast, we're going to discuss things that we are optimistic about, things that we're worried about, and then kind of our overall season outlook and our thoughts on, you know, just kind of what's going to go on heading into the season, you know?
Right.
So I think before we get into things we're optimistic about, I think we can kind of just say that we're not going to talk about Baker Mayfield because
yeah, everyone's excited about Baker. Yeah, I mean, he's the number one jersey sailing right now. So he's like, he's with the big name right now across the NFL.
And don't get me wrong. Like, he is the number one reason to be excited about the Browns,
right?
But we all know this. So there's not really a whole lot we're going to go into with that.
Yeah. There's not really much we can say that we've already said about that. We haven't said already about Baker.
We all know Nick Chubb's a monster.
Yep. Nick Chubb is going to finally get a full year to be the running back. And last year when he did it, he was top five from when he took over as the starting running back to the end of the year. He was top five in the league in yards.
He got like five carries in the preseason and was just bowling people over.
Yeah. And I'm glad they didn't give him a lot of work because, I mean, the Browns really need Nick Chubb. He's someone that can really affect the game. He's going to really give us a lot of balance because while we have – everyone talks about the wide receivers too, but we need to have that balance if we want to be able to close out games.
Yeah, especially with the lack of, you know, impressive tackle play. The more running game you can get, the better.
Well, and also no Kareem Hunt until week 10. So, I mean, we really need him to – be there for us because he really is the main workhorse for our team and he can really help get a lot of things forward. If we're seeing a lot of Chubb usually, that'll be a good thing for the Browns because usually that'll probably mean they're winning.
Yeah. Also, we all know that Myles Garrett's a monster.
Yeah, I mean, he's a defensive player of the year candidate.
The Browns' sack record is 15, and if Garrett stays healthy, I would honestly be surprised if he doesn't break that record.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just dominant at this point.
He's diversifying his pass rush moves. I mean, like earlier in the offseason, he told about how Greg Williams only made him really do two moves. So he's really diversified himself. He's really gotten better as a run defender in his 2 years in the NFL. And with Olivier Vernon on the other side, I mean, Myles Garrett's he will still require double teams, but like we said, he's so talented. He's so explosive and he can bend the corner so well. He's a defensive player of the year candidate, especially if the Browns play well. He could easily eclipse 15 sacks and have maybe a couple forced fumbles or some pass deflections at the line of scrimmage.
Hopefully he hits Ben Roethlisberger a whole lot of times.
Right. I know he wants to hit Ben Roethlisberger, so we got a chance to do that last year. But now this time we want to definitely do it and get a win against the Steelers.
Yeah, you don't like ties?
No. I mean, that was funny that it was week one last year that we did break our opening week losing streak, but we didn't win.
Yeah. So Myles Garrett kind of takes us to one of our first things that we're optimistic about, which is the defensive line.
Yeah.
Garrett has shown a lot of flashes before when he's been a good player, but I think this is the year that he's going to be truly, you know, a great player. Yeah. And you mentioned Olivier Vernon. This is the first time the Browns will have a legitimate starting pass rusher across from Myles Garrett.
Yeah, so no offense to Ogba, but
yeah, he was a run stuffer. This should give Garrett more one-on-one opportunities. And if it doesn't, it'll give Olivier Vernon one-on-one opportunities. At this point, the Browns' defense tackles are also good pass rushers. So at this point, it's kind of like you really can't double the Browns' entire line. And
it also makes it so the Browns don't have to rush blitz as often. They can just rush four people. So that'll help in terms of, also with the running game, that'll help as well. Because if they only rush four, that means those linebackers and safeties that are maybe ones playing closer to the line of scrimmage, they can sit back and kind of just read and react to the defense as it goes. So that defensive line is going to be big because that starting four, like we said, for Myles Garrett, he's never had this much talent on the defensive line. I mean, he has a veteran in Sheldon Richardson that's proven time and again he's a good interior pass rusher and he's a veteran leader. Olivier Vernon was one of the top pressure guys in the league last year before his injury. And instead of playing in the NFC East against really good offensive lines. He's playing in the AFC North where there's still good offensive lines, but he's not facing left tackles anymore. He's facing right tackles. And that doesn't make – that shouldn't make a huge difference, but at the same time, he's going to get a lot of one-on-ones that he didn't get when he was with the Giants because he was their best pass rusher.
Yeah, and Larry Ogunjobi is also a good pass rusher. I think the Browns have arguably the best pass rushing defensive line in the NFL right now.
Yeah, it's up
I think the run defense is somewhat of an issue just because a lot of those guys are more of pass rushers.
Yeah.
But you did mention that Myles Garrett's improved against the run. I don't think that Ogunjobi and Richardson are bad. I would say they're probably average against the run.
So and Olivier Vernon, hopefully he can hold the edge well too.
I think the Browns will likely have, you know, an average rush defense, but I think the potential is there to have a great pass defense, especially when you consider the secondary as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the hope is that obviously you're having leads and you're forcing the other team to throw the ball. Yeah. If you're forcing the other team to throw the ball, then that just gives Myles Garrett the opportunity to pin his ears back and go after the quarterback.
Yeah, and the Browns have good depth as well. Chad Thomas has shown some growth. Chris Smith is still a reliable backup. Devereaux Lawrence had a monster preseason.
Yeah, he really broke out. Freddie Kitchens basically was saying that he was unblockable during a lot of practices. Yeah. So it wasn't just the games that he was performing well against second and third teamers. He was really performing well and getting first team opportunities for the Browns as well. So last year, that was probably one of our biggest concerns going into this training camp was just the interior defensive line depth. Because behind Garrett behind Sheldon Richardson and Ogunjobi, there was really nobody there. And Devereaux Lawrence seems like he's a young, up-and-coming player that is going to give us some pass rush, but also he's big enough to hold the point of attack as well.
Yeah, and you can't be playing those guys, the starters, too many snaps because they'll get worn down.
Right, along with Daniel Okwale, who also impressed in
camp
as well.
Kind of a question mark still.
Yeah, if he plays 25% of the snaps, 30% of the snaps, that's good. And then if Devereaux Lawrence plays a little bit more, just, you know, give either Ogunjobi or Richardson a break at times because what we want is in the fourth quarter, if the Browns are in the lead, we want those four to be on the field as often as possible. So, and you're only going to do that by having depth throughout the rest of the game. Because last year when we were playing all those overtime games, Myles Garrett was gassed, and so was Larry Ogunjobi by the end of those games because they were playing every single snap.
Yeah, and Ogunjobi, a pec muscle or something?
Yeah, he played the rest of the year, but I'm sure a lot of that had to do with his workload. There was no other defensive lineman or defensive tackle that really you trusted except for Ogunjobi.
Yeah.
So that's a big deal.
Yeah, and the Browns, I think up front, will have an elite pass rush. And I think they also have pretty close to an elite secondary in terms of the passing game as well. I mean, if you're looking at, you know, Demaryius Randall is, you know, maybe not an upper tier, not an all pro, but
he's a good free safety.
I think he could be a Pro Bowl caliber free safety, especially as a ball hawk.
Yeah.
And you're looking at the cornerbacks, the Browns have good corners and they have good corner depth. And I think, you know,
they have four good corners.
I think the run defense could be pretty average, if not below average. But I think that the NFL is primarily a passing league, as we all know. And I think the Browns have a great pass rush and great, really good corners. And I think that's the recipe for success for a defense in the league right now. And, you know, I think, like you said, with the Browns offense, I think the poor run defense might not matter as much if the Browns offense is getting out there and scoring points like they should.
I'd say if it's middle of the third quarter and the Browns are up 21-3, you better believe that team's going to pass the ball. And that gives our pass rush just infinite amount of opportunities. And we didn't even include Jannard Avery in that mix as well, because he's going to be a pass rush specialist. You could have a defensive line depth of having Avery and Smith on the edges if you want to give those two big edges the play off and then maybe swap. And then you can move Myles Garrett inside sometimes for passing situations while Richardson or Ogunjobi take a breather. So the Browns have a lot of versatility in their defensive line, but that cornerback room, I mean, you have four good corners, I feel like. I mean, Denzel Ward, we saw him, what he did last year as a up and ascending cornerback. He's one of the best young corners in the league. I don't want to say best overall just because it's been only 1 year. But Terrence Mitchell, before he got hurt last year and even near the end of last year when he came back, really showed promise as a physical corner that can also have ball skills. TJ Carey really impressed last year when Terrence Mitchell went down. He'll be a lot more comfortable in the slot this year as opposed to being out in the outside, where he did have some good games, but at the same time, you probably prefer Carey in the slot. And then you have Greedy Williams, the second-round pick from this year, who was vying for the starting position opposite Terrence Mitchell, and he just obviously just couldn't beat out Mitchell this year, but there's still plenty of hope for him. And he has a lot of talent and potential to really help this team if any of them were to go down.
Yeah. One thing I like about the Browns cornerbacks is they complement each other really well, where Ward is great at the you know, kind of Antonio Brown type of receivers, the faster, great route runners.
I mean,
he is pretty rare in that ability. And I think Mitchell's better at kind of the bigger receivers and carries a really good slot guy. So they complement each other well. And Greedy, I think, looks like he's going to be a really good player. And so to have him as your fourth corner is a nice luxury to have, because someone will miss games at some point, especially considering Ward's injury history.
Let's say Ward's injury history, Mitchell's had injuries in the past. So, I mean, TJ Carey and Greedy Williams are going to be big factors for the Browns this year, and along with Eric Murray, who's kind of a hybrid, like slot corner, single high safety. But we only kept five corners, Tavier Thomas being the last one, mostly for special teams. So Murray will be important in that cornerback room as well.
Yeah, I think the Browns have a lot of talent all the way around their roster. I mean, we know the skill positions, there's tons of talent. We know there's Baker Mayfield. I think also the Browns have a really strong coaching staff.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, if you're looking at the coordinators, they're both really experienced. I think if you're looking at like James Campen for the offensive line, and a lot of the position coaches are really, really experienced.
Adam Henry's a really good coach. Ryan Lindley, the quarterback's coach, has a great relationship with all three quarterbacks. Yeah. Stump Mitchell is known as one of the better running back coaches in the league, and he's apparently helped Nick Chubb out a lot this offseason. Steve Wilks is a good defensive coordinator, like you said. And then when it comes down to defense, I mean, there's not too many like notable guys on the defense when it comes to names. I mean, Dwayne Walker is back as defensive backs coach. We brought in Tosh Lupoi as the defensive line coach. He was a coach at Alabama, so he knows how to coach talent. I mean, the Browns just have a lot of different coaches, which in the previous years would have been fifth or sixth choices for a lot of teams. I mean, when you get Todd Monken as the offensive coordinator, when he could have called plays elsewhere, that's a big get, because he's going to be so vital during the week when Freddie's trying to be the head coach at getting that game plan set up, working with Freddie to figure out what's going to be the best plans, and also just being in charge of all the offensive coaches, just kind of, and then being able to report to Freddie, so that way they both have that that connection with each other.
Yeah, Todd Monken and Steve Wilks and a lot of really good, you know, well-known quality assistant coaches is it gives you a lot of confidence this team will be able to reach its peak.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to be worried about, you know, whether the right decisions are being made and players are being coached the right way. I think, you know, there's a really strong chance this team does meet its upside because of that coaching staff.
Right. And then obviously, like we've talked about pretty much all summer, I mean, John Dorsey with his ability to evaluate talent and kind of put the right pieces around the team, you know, filling out the bottom of the roster. I mean, we got another receiver with Callaway being hurt. We picked up extra guards because of that situation. He understands the pulse of this team. And I think him and Freddie work really well together in terms of how they operate. And it seems like for the first time in a long time, the same message is being sent throughout the entire building. And I think a lot of that starts with Freddie and John Dorsey.
Yeah, that's, you know, just having John Dorsey being able to, like Devereaux Lawrence last year was a guy he kind of just picked up that was just not really a name. And now he's looking like a quality interior defensive backup lineman.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what John Dorsey does, is he just, you know, aside from the big moves like getting OBJ and Olivier Vernon, he makes so many smart moves along the margins. And I think I really trust his ability to put together a roster. And I think this year he's really pushing the chips in.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I definitely trust John Dorsey of all people to kind of get the right, you know.
I mean, he took a little bit of a risk with having two rookies be our specialists at kicker and punter. I mean, but at the same time, we trust him and his process. And from what it looked like in the preseason, those two rookies really earned that job. There's no really jobs handed to people anymore with the Browns, which for the past however many years,
except right guard.
I don't think it was handed to Eric Kush. Yeah. I think he was just the best of a interesting situation.
Interesting situation. Well, things to be worried about.
Definitely the offensive line.
Yeah, I think we've just mentioned too here, the fact that both your specialists are rookies. Seibert was, you know, very, very shaky early in camp in the preseason and had...
He really came on.
He came on strong. And he's a fifth round pick. It's one of those things where if you're taking a kicker in the fifth round, he better be good and he better be your kicker.
Yeah.
And I trust John Dorsey, but I also don't know how much science there is to scouting kickers.
Yeah.
So, you know, Austin Seibert's a completely wait and see thing. I mean, we really have no idea whether he's going to be good or not.
Rest in peace, Greg Joseph.
Yeah, Greg Joseph sucks.
He'll catch on somewhere.
And of course, Britton Colquitt got cut for a rookie punter,
which is a risk because Britton Colquitt was one of the better punters at pinning people inside the 20-yard line. So, I mean, that's a big deal for the Browns too. I mean, if the Browns have leads and they have to punt sometimes, if they can pin people inside the 20-yard line, that creates a much more difficult thing for them. And if they have to pass the entire time, or even if they have to run the ball, it's still going to take them longer to do it. So Jamie Gillian, the Scottish Hammer, he's
got a chamber, baby.
He has the leg for sure. I mean, we saw that in the preseason. He kicked like a 70-yard punt, and it barely bounced at all to make it 70 yards.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much stock you take into this, but the Browns' special teams was pretty poor in the preseason at stopping kick and punt returns. And I think some of that was because Gillen was kicking it so far. Yeah. So I think that could be a concern.
He's going to have to get better with his hang time, especially because he's going to have to be able to punt the ball and punt it into coverage, like you said, not punt his punt over his coverage. Because if he does that, then yeah, the Browns are going to have special teams issues, and that's why we brought Mike Pfeiffer in. It's because he was one of the best special teams coaches in the NFL.
And that's another thing that's just goes to show again the support staff, the coaching staff. You know, we have these concerns about the special teams, but we don't have Amos Jones like we did last year. We have a legitimately, you know, good NFL special teams coordinator. And special teams can win or lose you games. I mean,
we saw it last year.
Yeah.
We should have won 2 or 3 games last year based off of special teams.
But Greg Joseph was here, missing extra points.
Yeah.
And he's not now, so we'll see how that goes. You mentioned offensive line. It's definitely a concern.
We have two good starters.
J.C. Treader at center and Joel Bitonio at left guard are good. I think Greg Robinson, I'm pretty confident in him to be at least average at left tackle.
Yeah.
The right side is,
I mean, Eric Cush and Chris Hubbard. I mean, we saw Hubbard struggle last year with problems, and we also saw Greg Robinson struggle a little bit when he first came on. But once Freddie Kitchens took over as the offensive coordinator last year, Robinson did look better, and I do have some faith that Freddie Kitchens or that Freddie's going to, you know, really be able to scheme up the right ways. You know, if his offensive line is an issue, scheme up ways to get Baker on the move or do play action to slow down the pass rush to give him more time or just get the running game going. And Greg Robinson really does excel as a run blocker. And so does Chris Hubbard. He's a good run blocker as well. So if those guys can excel in the run game and then give help to Treader and Bitonio, who are very good players in their own right. I mean, we saw Treader play at a high level last year with a high ankle sprain. So we know what those two are capable of. Joel Bitonio is one of the best guards in the NFL. It's really just up to how the team schemes it and how those guys can perform against elite talent. Because we're going to face some elite pass rushers this year.
Yeah, I would say last year the Browns' offensive line was average at best.
Yeah, it was better at the end of the year. That's above average.
And that's with like 3 Pro Bowlers on the interior.
Yeah, we had Zeitler, which was
a big
thing.
And Zeitler's gone. And I think Baker Mayfield makes the line look better than it is, for sure. But yeah, I'm definitely concerned. Cush, I think, you know, if Cush, Robinson, and Hubbard can combine to be average, the Browns will have just a fine offensive line.
Yeah, they're not.
I don't think it has to be the strength of the team.
It's not going to be good either.
But I do have some concern. Hubbard is a concern to me. I know that you say he's a good run blocker and he improved as the year went along, but he was pretty rough for stretches.
He was, and his pass rush, he's still going to have issues against speed guys. That's always been his big problem, is handling speed guys. It's the other way around. Greg Robinson can't handle speed. Hubbard can, but Hubbard's really difficult at dealing with power players.
Yeah, I think, you know, when we're playing the Steelers and Ravens, we can't have the tackles just being beat like drums the whole game, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Baker can escape and create things for himself, but you can't have him do it all game or else there's not going to be any rhythm for Baker if he's just trying to, you know, escape pressure constantly and create plays out of nothing. That's kind of what happened with Aaron Rodgers when he was in Green Bay a lot of times recently, where his offensive line has had either injuries or they haven't played up to snuff, and he's kind of had to just run around and make things for himself.
Yeah, I think early leads will be pretty important for the Browns because, like we said, their run defense is below average and the tackles are below average. So if you're behind, teams are going to run it at you over and over again, and they're going to pass rush those tackles. So I think getting early leads could make the Browns really, really dominant.
Absolutely.
Safety depth is a concern. Morgan Burnett is the strong safety. He's really old. Demarius Randall has had a lot of injuries throughout his career, and I think all the safeties beyond that are pretty unproven.
Yeah, I mean, Sheldrick Redwine is the rookie. He didn't really impress that well in coverage.
He almost got cut.
Yeah, I mean, he did not impress in coverage. They have him listed as the third free safety, but I'd much rather him play closer to the line of scrimmage than away, because he just doesn't seem like he has that ability to close on balls. Eric Murray, like I mentioned earlier, he's kind of a corner free safety hybrid. He's the backup right now if Demarius Randall gets hurt. John Dorsey trusts him. He traded Emmanuel Ogba for him. So hopefully Eric Murray is able to give us some valuable snaps sometimes. But, I mean, the quarterback of the secondary is definitely Demarius Randall. And if he gets hurt, that's going to be a big issue, because he really did, as the year went along, especially last year, he really got a lot better at playing at his free safety position. And like he said, this year, he's not going to be playing a mile and a half back like we were accustomed to with Greg Williams as the
defensive coordinator. We didn't see a lot of Morgan Burnett in the preseason, so I think he's a question mark because of his age.
Yeah, Jermaine Whitehead will have to be big.
Yeah, but I think Randall, I mean, like you said, if Randall gets hurt, which he has been before, it could get kind of rough in the secondary. And luckily the Browns have a great pass rush, but you know, we'll see how the run game goes and if Randall gets hurt.
Having a good free safety is really important because they really see everything and they can really help, and they really help out the other corners sometimes in other situations where if the Browns play man coverage as much as they did last year, you need that free safety to be able to cut on balls. Or if they play zone coverage, you need someone like Randall that's good at reading and reacting situations.
Yeah, the Browns also have a first-time head coach.
It's true.
I think we really like the coaching staff in general, and I think we all are rooting for Freddie because he's kind of a good old boy.
I like Freddie.
You know, everyone likes to root for, and he had success last year, but he is a guy that was a running backs coach halfway through the last season and is now head coach, and there's a lot of pressure on this team. And I think, you know, if the Browns lose a couple games early, we're going to see what Freddie Kitchens is made of because the pressure's there, and this is his first time doing it. And I think because of the talent you have around the roster and because of the talent you have on the coaching staff, I think if the Browns do start losing games, you know, a lot of people are going to point the finger at Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big thing early in this year that we follow what we've been doing in training camp, which Freddie has been preaching the entire time. It's just, you know, get better every day, come in and make sure that things are happening, like work hard, make sure that you're getting in your playbook, trust each other. I mean, he said all the right things in the offseason. He's been good in terms of that. And I think that's why a lot of people like him, is because he seems like he is a little bit of a straight shooter and he'll answer questions and he'll give you real in-depth things. But at the same time,
does he know how to use timeouts properly?
Yeah.
Because we've had a lot of issues like that over the
time
years.
The clock management, how to challenge things, you know, down in distance, because he is still calling the plays, even though Monken's helping him. He's calling the plays, so he's going to be doing that as well. He's going to have to manage all of those things as a first-time head coach.
How many times have we seen Browns coaches try to call plays, and it just ends up being too much
for them? You know? Hugh Jackson, Pat Shurmur.
And Hugh Jackson gave up play calling. It got worse somehow.
Yeah.
So, you know,
those two especially tried to do it as first-time head coaches. Yeah. Well, Hugh Jackson was basically a first-time head coach, and it caused a lot of issues because they weren't able to carry about the rest of the team. Now, it's good that you have Steve Wilks as a defensive coordinator, but Freddie's the head coach. He needs to be involved in everything. So that's where having Todd Monken comes in to be really helpful, to also help Freddie, you know, ease some of the pressure on him. He'll still have to do all the head coaching things, but at least he'll know going into the week that he has a solid foundation. It's really just the in-game things we're going to have to worry about. Like, is he going to call a timeout at the wrong time and potentially give another team another possession to maybe win the game? Like, those are important things, and those are, and the NFL is a game of inches. So, I mean, the Browns lost a lot of games last year by not much at all. So those things he did could be very big issues.
I have one more concern. Odell Beckham today says his hip injury has prevented him from opening up and sprinting, but he's hoping adrenaline will take over against the Titans. That doesn't sound great.
Yeah.
And he's missed a lot of time in the past few years. And, you know, I think
he has practiced the last 3 days.
I think the Browns can have a solid offense, but if they want to be elite, it's got to be OBJ out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's without OBJ in there and without Kareem Hunt for the first 8 games, they're going to have it would be similar to what happened last year. And also, they don't have Antonio Callaway for the first 4 games.
And Odell Beckham Jr. has not played a game yet this offseason.
No, he hasn't taken a snap in the preseason.
He said it didn't happen one play, which makes it almost sound like a deterioration thing. And I think it's a pretty major concern.
I mean, that's where the training staff's going to have to come
in. He hasn't played a full season yet in the NFL, you know, and I think the Giants traded him partly because he's a headache for them or whatever, but also partly because he couldn't stay healthy. And he is supremely talented, don't get me wrong.
Right.
When he's out there, he's an upper echelon NFL receiver.
I think
receiver.
He's the top 3 receiver in the NFL, and he's
healthy. For sure. But, again, the health is definitely a question.
Right. I mean, the Browns do have something to worry about there. I mean, Baker has shown that he's been able to make some people successful. And I mean, he made Rashad Perriman successful and got him a contract with the Buccaneers. But at the same time, obviously, you'd much rather have Odell Beckham out there and have a top 3 wide receiver on your team than have him sitting on the sidelines in an ice tub.
We're going to take a short break. When we get back, we're kind of going to go over our expectations for the Browns and our overall outlook for the season. And we are back. So I will pose the question to you first, Graham.
Sure.
What are your expectations for the Browns this season? And that can be wins and losses. That can be how they play. That can be whatever. What are your expectations for how this season's going
to
go?
I do expect them to challenge for a playoff spot. I mean, and I think that's fair based on the talent that they have, the schedule they have, and also just the way that they played at the end of last year with a lot less pieces. So, I mean, they have Baker's in year 2. We have extra wide receiver talent. We added Njoku has another year for to blossom, and he'll get a lot of targets now. I mean, the offense should be able to score and be able to keep up with a good amount of teams in the NFL, maybe sans the Chiefs and the Rams, but we do play the Rams at one point, so it'll be a good test for the Browns to kind of see, you know, how their offense stacks up against those elite offenses. But I think defensively, they'll be able to create pressure and generate some turnovers. I think that's kind of how they're going to have to do things, is they're going to have to just generate pressure with their defensive line and then be able to create enough pressure to either get sacks and force fumbles or get turnovers. I mean, linebackers obviously be important, but that secondary is going to be a big deal in terms of how can they stop the ball. Can they hold them to as low of a passer rating as Browns did last year when they were one of the best teams in the league last year when it came to opposing quarterback passer rating? So, I mean, the Browns defense, it should be at least good enough to help out. And then, I mean, overall, I mean, yeah, I mean, the Browns should be realistically expecting a chance to make the playoffs. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to, but I'd be a little bit disappointed if they finished like 7-9, 8-8. It'd be a pretty big disappointment if they don't really get any better from last year.
I expect the Browns have a winning record.
Yeah, I expect them to win. I said their floor is probably 8, and it's probably up to 10 wins. 11 would be pretty extreme if they were able to win a game or two they shouldn't have. But the Browns should be in contention for this division throughout the entire year, especially with the back half of their schedule the way it is. And they also should be in the division because they're just as talented as the Steelers and the Ravens are.
Yeah, I think the downside for any team is pretty big if you include injuries.
Yeah.
But I think assuming the Browns stay, you know, reasonably healthy.
Right.
You know, I really think that 8-8 is the floor and 11-5 is the upside. And I would expect the Browns to stay within, you know, striking distance at minimum in the division.
Yeah. I don't know if they'll win the division, but I do think they should at least challenge for a wild card if they don't win the division.
I think it's a disappointment if the Browns don't have a winning record. That's how I feel. I think the offense is going to be explosive. I think they're going to have one of the 5 to 7 best offenses in the NFL. I think they're going to have an above average defense. I think they're going to have a really good pass defense and a probably slightly below average run defense. You know, again, injuries could always, you know, crop up and become a huge issue. Right. Injuries at certain positions could always become an issue for, you know, some part of the team.
And every team has their holes. So
I think if I had to project right now how many games the Browns would win, I would probably say 10.
I would probably also say 10.
The question would be, is that enough to win the division? And I think
– I don't know.
I think the Ravens are an 8-8 to 10-6 team. I think the Steelers are 9-7 to 10-6 team. So
I think the Steelers could be better than 10-6, but I think it would just depend on how good their defense plays early on.
Well, and my thing with the Steelers is last year they were 9-6-1.
Yeah.
And they really should have been 9-7 if the Browns could make a field goal.
Right.
So what has really improved from year to year for the Steelers?
I think it's really just, you know, they're hoping that, you know, the Antonio Brown cancer is gone, but at the same time, they're losing receivers.
Losing 1,500 yards and 10 touchdowns.
So Juju Smith-Schuster is going to really have to step in and
he's take great, hold. But who's their other receiving
And they're going to need Dante Moncrief, who I liked for a long time, but has never really blossomed, or their wide receiver from last year. They drafted James Washington out of Oklahoma State.
And Vance McDonald, tight end, is fine.
Yeah. Their offensive line is very good.
Yep.
So they've got
James
Conner. They have James Conner, who really
Roethlisberger's older.
Yeah, he'll be 37 this year, and he did lead the league in passing yards last year. But at the same time, that was a lot of the product of them falling behind in a lot of games and him having to throw the ball a lot. Plus, they didn't trust. They liked James Conner as a pass catcher, so they did throw a lot to the running back. So, I mean, the Steelers are going to be in it. The Steelers will always be in this division until they don't have a quarterback. And they've had a quarterback as long as we've known them.
Yeah,
so,
unfortunately.
Roethlisberger's been around forever. He knows how to beat the Browns. He's played in this division before. They've won this division 4 times. And the Ravens have won it plenty of times too. And the Ravens, it really just comes down to, you know, how well does Lamar Jackson perform? And can that defensive front 7 hold up enough for that secondary that's elite to be able to help him out?
I think the Ravens are going to have one of the better defenses in the NFL. The offense is a pretty big question.
Well, their front 7 is questionable. They did lose a lot of pass rushing. They lost Za'Darius Smith and they lost Terrell Suggs. I mean, Terrell Suggs is on the back end of his career, but they didn't really have a lot of depth there.
Terrell Suggs tortured the Browns for a long time.
He did. And also, I mean, yes, their secondary is very good. They have Earl Thomas coming from the Seahawks, and he's one of the best safeties in the NFL when he's healthy. Tony Jefferson's a really good, strong safety. They have Jimmy Smith, Tavon Young, Marlon Humphrey. I mean, their secondary is very good, but their linebacking core, they lost C.J. Mosley, which for the price they can live with, but the player himself, that is going to be a loss for them.
Yeah.
And I mean, their offensive line is still good. They brought in Mark Ingram as their running back, and they also drafted a running back named Justice Hill from Oklahoma State, who I really liked. And I was banging on the table for the Browns to draft as their backup running back to kind of replace Duke. But I guess that's going to be Hilliard and Dearness Johnson. But, that team's going to run the ball a lot, and they have Lamar Jackson, who can run the ball and create a lot of havoc for anybody. So, I mean, depending on what you're doing, you know, it's really going to depend. So, yeah, I mean, the Ravens, they're going to be a threat in the AFC North, and that's just going to be something that the Browns are going to have to deal with. I mean, they're playing in one of the tougher divisions in the NFL this year. So, I mean, they're going to have to they have to split those games. They have to at least split the games with the Ravens and the Steelers.
Yeah, it's time. You know, the Browns have been losing to the Ravens and Steelers for a long, long time. And if the Browns are going to be a playoff team, if the Browns are going to be a big boy team like they're supposed to be this year, it's time to at least split with the Ravens and Steelers.
They showed some improvements last year by splitting with the Ravens, and then they almost split with the Steelers. But I mean, and they're showing that they at least had that ability, and now that's without Hugh Jackson to, you know, make horrible coaching blunders in the last part of the game. So hopefully, again, that's part of Freddie Kitchens' challenge, is just getting all those things together, because the NFL is a very, very fine margin game. You can lose on a lot of small things.
If I asked you right now, are the Browns a playoff team?
Yes.
I think so too.
I think that if they they don't win the division, they can sneak into a wild card spot. I mean, they're going to be fighting with teams like, you know, whoever doesn't win the AFC South, the Chargers are probably going to be in next, but you know, the Broncos are definitely promising. They'll be fighting with one of the other teams in the AFC North if they don't win the division for that wild card crown. I mean, the AFC East, they don't have to worry too much about, because other than the Patriots, those teams aren't really ready to compete. And then, like I said, in the South, the Colts lost Andrew Luck, so that's a big thing. But if Jacoby Brissett can hold that team together, that team could be a 9-10 win team at max and maybe fight for the wild card. So 10 wins is really going to be what the Browns have to get if they want to make the playoffs. And I said 10 wins, and if I'm wrong, then that'll be a traditional and long history of me picking more wins than they actually do.
Yeah, I have been famously pessimistic about the Browns, and I've been right almost every time. And I think I'm in the exact same boat as you. 10 wins is what I'm expecting, and I think at minimum wild card berth is what I'm expecting, and I don't expect them to win the Super Bowl or even make the Super Bowl this year. But
the icing on top would be if they win a playoff game.
Yeah, I think it's time to be a big boy team. Yeah. I think that's what the Browns are going to be.
That's what would be big for the if they win the AFC North, because if they win the AFC North, they get a home playoff game, and that would be massive.
It would be
for
bonkers,
the Browns.
First of all.
I mean, if the playoff game for the Browns, the entire city would pretty much shut down. Yeah. I think someone said that if – I forget who it was. One of the Browns players said, if we win the Super Bowl, there's going to be no more Cleveland.
Yeah.
They're going to have a floating city.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because it's just going to get destroyed.
Week one, I see a win. The Titans are missing their star left tackle, Taylor Lewan.
Yeah.
They're missing probably their right tackle, it looks like.
Yeah, Jack Conklin.
And it's going to be ugly for Marcus Mariota in that case.
Yeah, I mean,
I think Derrick Henry could do damage against the Browns.
Yeah, but they don't really have a lot of receiving talent. I mean, other than Corey Davis and Adam Humphries, they really don't. And Corey Davis hasn't really performed up to snuff.
Not an exciting group.
Yeah, I mean, they traded Tawan Taylor to the Browns. So
they have a solid defense, and they have a good running game, but I think the Browns are going to be
too
much talent.
I think Vrabel will definitely keep it close, and it's a homecoming for Mike Vrabel, the head coach of the Titans. He grew up in Northeast Ohio and rooted for the Browns. He said he actually said in his interview, he said he was at the last game at Municipal Stadium when the Browns moved. So that'll be big for him. But I would say I would probably pick the Browns 28-17 or 28-20 to win the game.
We will be back during the NFL season, hopefully once a week. I think that's the plan.
Yeah, like we did last year.
Yeah.
After every Browns game, we'll break down the games. We'll let you know exactly what's going on, what we're concerned about, any injuries. And if anything big happens in the NFL as well, we'll do that. I mean, this
Antonio Brown's a psycho.
Yeah, Antonio Brown's a psycho, which is hilarious. Oh, and I'm so glad the Raiders are on Hard Knocks this year.
Yeah.
But for Browns fans, I mean, just get ready. Don't be one of those guys that says we're going to win the Super Bowl immediately, but just be excited about this team, because this is the first time in a long time that Browns fans really have something to look forward to.
Yes, sir. We will talk to you after week one, and hopefully it is the beginning of validation for everything.
Hopefully for
the
first time in years, we're 1-0.
Oh, God, I can only imagine. We'll talk to you guys later.